Well, good morning and welcome to Reston Bible Church. Just a couple quick things before we jump into our message for today. First of all, happy 4th of July. I know it feels a little early, but by the time next Sunday comes, it'll be past. So we just want to say that we hope that you enjoy celebrating our freedom here in America with your families and friends this coming Friday. We know that our country is founded on the notion of freedom, but we understand that Jesus is the author of freedom. And so we're going to celebrate all that we have, first in Jesus, and second in this great land that we live in. The second thing I want to let you know is that over the next couple of days, we're going to be closing the opportunity to go on the Footsteps of Paul trip in the fall. So if you have not yet had an opportunity to look at that and you're interested, there's brochures at the welcome desk on your way out, and please consider that quickly because we need to wrap that up and release the rooms that have been reserved that we don't need and so forth and so on. We know last Sunday, wrapped up our time together discussing do you rent or do you own? We pray that you have considered ways that you would move from being a kind of a renter in your thinking, perhaps, if that's you, to being more of an owner here at Reston Bible Church. Got home. And one of the things that I had shared with you in the past was a feature that we have in our home that I absolutely love. It's our kitchen faucet. It's a touch faucet. You know, as you're washing your dishes, you just touch it with your hand. You don't have to use the arm to turn it on or off. You just touch it so you're not getting soap everywhere. It's a great money saver. Well, our touch faucet wasn't working to the touch. And there's nothing worse than not having, you go, touch, and nothing's happening. You're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so, you know, I thought, you know, I can handle this. So I changed the batteries under the sink and, you know, it still wasn't working right. And then it just kind of stopped altogether. So I thought, you know, what's a homeowner to do? YouTube. So I looked up a YouTube video on touch faucets and so forth. And, you know, underneath there, there's two pieces of the hose with the solenoid in between. And that's what controls the touch. And so if you just take that out and reconnect the hoses, good to go. The faucet just functions like any other faucet. So I thought, sure, no problem. Climbed under the sink, pulled the hose off the solenoid, and it was like a fire hose went off under my sink. And you know, that when you live in any dwelling, you love water where it's supposed to be, but water where it's not supposed to be is a real problem. And so all of a sudden there's all this screaming going on, trying to figure out what to do. At that point, my kids just walked through the door from their lunch, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. There's water spraying everywhere. And Natalie hands me a pot to put under the sink. And of course, then I started to pour the water into the pot. Okay. Solve for a moment. At that point, she declared that she is the only one in our family who is good in a crisis. And, including her first responder firefighter husband who was there as well. And so I backed out from underneath the sink, and it dawned on me that the handle was still engaged. All I needed to do was turn the water off. Now, I blame the woman in the YouTube video for that because she didn't say, make sure the handle is off before you disconnect the hose. And I do, you know, in the Bible, there are many miracles involving water. You know, there's the parting of the Red Sea. There's the changing water into wine. And I refer to this as the miraculous evaporation because I have no idea where all that water went. I went downstairs to check, make sure it wasn't on the ceiling in the basement, and there's nothing. And so I don't know. God clearly did a miracle there. And as things were settling down, I'm just dripping with water. And you're thinking, is there a point to this story? Aside from being a knucklehead, yes, there is. That's when everything settled and my son-in-law looked at me and he said, do you rent or do you own? And that's when I threw him out of my house. Home ownership requires that you navigate the responsibilities, the privileges, and the challenges of ownership. And last week, we talked about what it means to be part of the body of Christ as owners, as those who say, it's not what they do at Reston Bible Church, it's what we do at Reston Bible Church. This is my church. And that the ownership mentality is what we all need to have. And again, we acknowledge that there are some among us who are new or trying to figure out where they stand with Christ or whether they're going to throw in here at all. This is an option as a church, but not sure if this is going to be our church. And it's okay to be in a season of renting, so to speak. But the call is that more and more of us would be owners in what it is that we're doing here. We quoted a verse last week from Ephesians chapter 2. It says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And that each brick of the holy temple, each individual one, comes together to form the temple, the structure in which God himself dwells. We said that the mission of Rest and Bible Church, which will never change, is to know Christ and to make him known. That's the tagline that all of us have heard and that we know. And we do that through biblical teaching, preaching, and authentic Christian community here in Northern Virginia and around the world. We said that the visionary elements of that mission really manifest themselves in what we refer to as kind of our 5G network, right? The gather, grow, give, and go, all for the glory of God. That if I was to ask you how you're doing in your journey with Christ, if the only thing that you were to do would reflect on these things, how am I gathering? How am I connected in community? And recognizing that that's the first among equals, because the more that I'm connected biblically, the better I'm going to do the rest of these things. And how am I growing? If you could answer to me some critical steps of how you're seeking to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, we would say that's good. How am I giving back in my time, talent, and treasure? In what ways am I resourcing the church, if you will, with the things that God has given me and the things that I do well, the things that he's called me to do and the resources that he has given to me? And then how am I going? How am I taking the message of Jesus to those in my sphere of influence? Because there are people in your life who have no other exposure to the gospel than through you. And are each of us taking that seriously? And the more each of us are moving forward in our own gathering, growing, giving, and going, as it were, the more we develop mature into maturity corporately together. Another scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, according to the grace of God given to me, Paul speaking, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. You see, what's going to happen at the end of the day is we're all going to stand before God, not in judgment for our salvation, because in Christ we already have that. But we're going to stand before God related to how we used what he has given to us in this life. And then he's going to give out rewards. Now, I can't explain to you what that means. I don't understand it. There isn't a whole lot of clarity in scripture about the rewards that we may or may not get in heaven. All I can say is if God's given something out, you want to get it. You want to get it. And to evaluate how we do that here. And we're submitting to you, Rest and Bible Church, is that one of the best ways to assess and move forward toward the prize, whatever that is in rewards in heaven, can be evaluated in these four things of gather, grow, give, and go. Because it's upon those things that we together and individually move forward effectively. Verse 10 says, let each one take care how he builds upon it, that foundation. More than likely, if you are a parent, at some point when your kids were young, you played the game Jenga. You know, Jenga is that all the little blocks all together and you remove blocks and you keep removing them until you have this structure that looks like it can't possibly continue to stand. And the next removal of a block could be the one that sends the whole thing toppling. Sometimes I think that the church is like the game of Jenga. It is a structure that is missing a bunch of its building blocks, that is unstable, ready to go over at any time, if you will, because of the lack of support that each block provides at the beginning of the game. I believe that the church of Jesus, the strength, is the power of the Holy Spirit through each one providing their own element of support through the model that we have talked about here. Today, I want to share with you a few things about what it is that's going on here at Reston Bible Church that's reinforcing the foundation that we already have that's been built over the last 50 years. And then I want to move on to share with you some of the things that we're looking to do in the future, in the coming days, that I'm hoping you can get excited about. Today's message is really more of the application of please become more of an owner. It's also a part of understanding some of the things that are happening so that you can see behind the curtain things that you might not already see and get excited about the journey ahead together. So I want to start with how we are reinforcing the foundation of some of the things that are going on here at Reston Bible Church. You heard several weeks ago that Tony Cho is transitioning out of children's ministry as the pastor there. We're really excited about the fact that Tony is now going to get to do some other things. Two of the things that Tony is going to provide some support for that need ongoing support, additional support, are in our shepherd group ministry and men's ministry. We believe that one of the foundational elements of this church for the health of all are shepherd groups. Our shepherd group leaders are the ones who I refer to them as the extension of the pastoral arm into the community of the church. Each shepherd group leader provides care and support for the 10 or so people that are in their group. When a crisis occurs, they're there. When something to celebrate happens, they're there. Often I am informed about the things that are happening, but it's more of a you should know, but no action on your part needs to be taken. And that's the beautiful thing of the community of shepherd groups. And Tony is going to be providing more support to our leaders along with David in the shepherd group ministry. The other thing that he's going to be able to help is support in our men's ministry. You know, one of the key elements of church is the leadership of its men. And we recognize that as well as we are doing, we could always do better when it comes to investing in the men of our church. Gentlemen, you may or may not know that there's a class going on right this moment on Wednesday nights called The Exemplary Husband. It's based on a book of the same title. They're a few weeks in, but you can still join in if you want to learn how to be more effective as a husband in your home. We want to encourage you to consider it. It will be offered again. We offered it on a regular basis. And it's my heart that every man who is a husband would consider this as an opportunity to grow in his leadership. We also want you to know that we are seeking to make progress on the issues of addressing sexual purity in our culture. You know, we had a project that came through, the Conquer series that many of our men took, and it was very, very successful. But we recognize that in large measure, we are not winning the battle against the issues of sexual purity in our culture. We have a gentleman in our congregation who is stepping forward. This gentleman has had a decades-old problem with pornography. And in the last couple years, through his journey with the Lord and other men, God has provided miraculous, miraculous movement in his life. And he's saying, I want to help move us forward. We can do better. We can do better when it comes to the issues of purity in our church. And we want you to pray because we believe that this is one area where the enemy has a foothold and he is destroying the men of our culture and of many churches and is impacting our church as well. In the process of this move, as Tony moves forward, we recognize that makes a transition necessary in Quest. We told you that Susan Rebaise, who's been working with Quest Ministry for many years, is going to become the director of Quest. Now, Susan's out of town this week, and she's not here to hear this compliment, but I've known Susan for over 30 years. I've known Susan longer than I've known almost anybody in the community, including my wife. We were on a mission trip together as young single people. She's an incredibly gifted woman. And we know that when a transition occurs, even when the previous leadership was doing an amazing job, that transition is often an opportunity for new things, new direction, new understanding, new perspectives. And we're excited about what Susan is going to be able to do with the team that's already established there to take our kids' ministry to a new place. Really want to reinforce the value of what Cody and Emily Holt have brought forward with the book Family Worship. And if you took one of those books at their cost, we want to say thank you. And we pray that you are implementing family worship. We believe that family worship in the home is one of the most transformational things that this church can do. And if you need more help with that, you're looking for that, we'll get you connected to Cody and Emily. They're always at the Quest desk on Sunday mornings. I want to let you know, too, that youth ministry is a high priority for us here. Youth ministry has been a significant transition over the last couple of years. Every leader in our youth ministry over the last year or two is brand new. And so there's a lot of ground still to cover. They're doing an amazing job, but continue to pray for our youth ministry. We believe that what happens there sets the tone for the future of this church, because of the young leaders of what happens in the generations to come here at Rest and Bible Church. Many of them are in our youth ministry right now. One of the elements that we're continuing to bolster is what I refer to as our equipping ministry, our classes, our ETS, our equipping the saints. We recognize that more and more of you have greater difficulty getting to some of these classes. We're trying to streamline our support in equipping ministry so that it becomes more and more accessible to the people of our congregation. We have reduced and streamlined our opportunities to four core classes. If you are new to us, or if you are a new follower of Jesus, or you're trying to figure out Jesus, or you've been around the things of faith for a very long time, but returning to the basics wouldn't be a bad thing for you, I want to let you know that these are the four core four. The first is RBC First Step. RBC First Step. And really, this is the basics, what it means to be a believer, how it is that I fit in the body of Christ, and orienting us to all of that here at Rest and Bible Church. The second one is Bible 101. Bible 101. This is how to study the Bible. If I looked at you and said, do you know how to sit down, open up your Bible, study it, glean through your own observation and study what the interpretation and application of a given passage is, could you do it? If you don't feel confident in that you are able to study the Bible on your own and use the resources that are available to you to glean the truth of the scripture and apply it to your own life, then you owe it to yourself to take Bible 101. And we will help you with that in a very easy, simple process that will open up the doors to the scriptures to you. The third class is Theology 101. This is the basics of the faith. This is what we teach. This is the foundations of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and all the critical elements of theology that we believe you should know as a follower of Jesus Christ. And the fourth one is Living on Mission. Living on Mission 101. This is what it means to have conversations with other people about your faith. Last week, I said to you that in any room, chances are that if we had a show of hands, roughly about 5% of us here this morning would overwhelmingly say, I have the gift of evangelism. You know who takes, the overwhelming majority of people who take Living on Mission 101 to learn about evangelism? The people who don't need to go, because they're already really good at it, because they have the gift of evangelism. And it's our heart that we would, in a very casual, comfortable, non-threatening sort of way, help you understand how to have spiritual conversations with those who you influence around you. There's a passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles 12. It refers to the men of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel. It says, of the men of Issachar, these men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The men of Issachar were uniquely equipped and skilled at looking at the landscape, seeing where things are going, understanding what's happening in our world, and related to the scriptures, knowing what to do. That's the kind of church that we want to be. We want to be an equipping church so that you understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, how to live that out, how to assess the environment in which we live. Which brings us to another element of our reinforcing of the foundational core, which is the area of technological development. Right now, we are in the ongoing process about evaluating. We have a decent database that keeps track of all the things that we're doing here at Rest and Bible Church. We're hoping to move all of our stuff over to a platform called Subsplash. At this point, the only thing we do with Subsplash is our giving. And we are in constant evaluation of how do we navigate technology to better support all the things that we're doing here. We want you to know that we feel and want to encourage you, if you are a regular giver to Rest in Bible Church, and we hope that you are, that you would use Subsplash. It's very simple. It's effective for us, and we believe it's most effective for you as well. You can go to the Give button on our website or download our RBC app and do the same thing there. But there's some things that are going on with technology that we wanted to address this morning. We want to encourage you in all of this. You see, the church has often been caught off guard in the changing culture, in the unexamined elements of our world. The church is often behind the curve, specifically related to technology. Our goal today is to assure you, our people, the people of Rest in Bible Church, that when it comes to technology, we have our eyes wide open and that we are alert to the rapid changing environments, to both the value and the dangers related to technology. We always want to use technology in a way that is ethical and biblical for the sake of the kingdom. Several years ago, social media didn't exist at all. And now social media has taken over our world. And for many, it has become an actual addictive element of their daily living, being virtually unable to keep their faces out of their phones. Some of you can relate. We have from this platform talked about this very thing and brought warning about the dangers and those kinds of elements of social media. At the same time, we seek to leverage social media effectively for the sake of the kingdom. And having effective online presence, bringing Rest in Bible Church and the gospel to people in our community. We want you to know right now that in our world, you understand it, that everybody is talking about AI. AI, AI, AI. Everybody's talking about the rapid developments of it, the dangers of it, and the uses of it. It's important for you to understand that we have our eye closely on AI. We want you to know that at no point will there be any messages generated from AI that are presented from this stage or anywhere else in our church. AI will be a powerful administrative support tool to what it is that we are doing. We never want to infringe on the territory that is served and exclusively for the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures in our personal and corporate study of God's word. I was sitting with a friend over coffee, and he was talking about ChatGPT, and he said, what are you studying for this weekend? And I told him, when I was doing a series on Philippians. He said, what's the passage? And I told him, and he said, develop an outline along with points of application for Philippians chapter, whatever it was at the time. And then all of a sudden, you know what it does. It kind of populates and so forth and so on. And I'll be honest with you. Some of the things that were there were comparable to some of the things that I had discovered and come to on my own through study. But it's also important to understand that technological tools are only as effective as the information that they are given. And that not everything that pops up in these environments is biblically accurate. And even our technology needs to be checked through effective biblical study in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to keep you abreast as we engage very, very smart people who love Jesus, who are deeply engaged in these kind of things, who are helping us as we seek to always be on the front edge of what it is that's happening in our world. And we will always be good to come to you with these things. Another element of our supporting the foundation is what I refer to as bridge ministries, our bridge ministries. Things like Grief Share, which is having an effective ministry to those who are experiencing loss. Parents of Addicted Loved Ones, which is a poignant ministry to those who are dealing with adult children who have addictions. Divorce Care is a fairly recent addition to our ministries here, and it is having a significant support to those in our church and those in our community who are yet to find Rest in Bible Church as a church, as they seek to move through and forward after the unfortunate and difficult experience of a divorce. Our Hope Ministry, which is for parents who are fostering and are moving toward adoption and have adopted, has been revitalized and has resurfaced. If you are adopting or fostering or continue or considering doing that, you must connect with our Hope Ministry, seeking to be a lighthouse for children in the world who need parental support, either through foster care or adoption. Please pray as we continue to consider our options to develop an abortion recovery group. I'm passionate about this. As we consider our relationship with Mosaic, the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in our area, who are doing an amazing job rescuing women from these choices and babies week in, week out, people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I get these texts several times a week. There are still those women who walk out of those doors to go on to have an abortion. And we want to be a place in our church and in our community where women can come and the men that are associated with them, if they're willing, to find care, support, and Jesus Christ. We are in the process of evaluating ministries like Celebrate Recovery and the possibility of hosting a ministry like that here for those who are battling addictions from a broad perspective when it comes to being Christ-centered. And those are just a few of the things that we are seeking to do when it comes to our Bridge ministries. I want to move now to some strategic steps, things that we're not doing, things that are newer than some of the things that we've just talked about, seeking to bolster the foundation. So some strategic next steps. And I've alluded to this to some, and if you were part of our the 50th anniversary alumni time, you heard more and more about this. But what I encourage you is knowing that we are going to be developing ministry to local internationals. Local internationals. You know this. You know that it wasn't that long ago that our area here was rather homogeneous. And in the last decade or more, it has become anything but that. We have people from all over the world, and more are coming to this church. I love the growing diversity of our church and the people from all over the world that are coming to be with us here who love Jesus. But there are a lot of people in our community who have come from all over the world who have no knowledge of Jesus. When I asked several weeks ago if there were people who had a Muslim or a Hindu neighbor, coworker, or friend, a large number of you raised your hands. And we recognize that as a church, if we are going to impact our Jerusalem, our local community, we need to be more effective at equipping the members of our congregation to understand the neighbor that they have that looks different than they do, that speaks a different language that they do, that has a religion that we do not understand largely here, and how it is that we can engage them, love them, and open up conversations in a way that's fruitful for the sake of the gospel. In the process, we are seeking to understand how we can be even a greater support to our international connection. Our international connection is our ESL ministry here, which is exploding at the gills. We have more and more internationals each year that are coming to learn English. Many of them sticking around to work more and more, using the Bible as their tool to learn English. Imagine that. We have people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, people in great need, to asking us for resources, and we are happy to walk with them. This ministry over the last several years, under the leadership of Heather and her team, has become more and more evangelistic, where we are leaning in to these relationships. After all, they're coming to a church, and they know they're coming to a church. And we are feeling more and more comfortable engaging them in the things of Jesus Christ. Another new initiative that we want you to understand that's taking place, and this is very poignant for a certain segment of us here this morning, is what we're calling fourth quarter discipleship. Fourth quarter discipleship. As people retire, move into the later season of life, as were, that fourth quarter, we recognize that we are not as effective as we could be in ministering to and mobilizing those in that season of life. As I have said many times from the stage, please don't retire to do nothing. Please don't do that. Please retire and then ask the Lord how he wishes to use you for the sake of the kingdom in new and fresh ways. And we want to help you do that. We believe that you in the fourth quarter, those of you who fit into that category of life, have much to offer in your wisdom, in your life experience, in your biblical knowledge. And we recognize that you taking that and investing that into others is often a difficult way to find how to navigate that. One of the things that we're going to be doing in the fall, Mark Petersburg, who is a retired pastor who came to be with us here because two of his sons come here with their families, has decided to land here. And he has spoken from our stage in different series many times. He'll be preaching up as a part of our summer series coming up. And he has agreed to do a Sunday morning Bible fellowship. Now, it's open to all. It's going to be a large Bible study, if you will. It's open to all. Any age and stage can come, but we're hoping that those in the fourth quarter, as it were, would find that to be a landing place. And as we gather there, to be the foundational point to then launch into other opportunities for ministering to and mobilizing those in that season of life. So if you are in the fourth quarter and you would like us to be engaged in ministering to you and then helping mobilize you in more effective ways, please keep your eyes and ears open for what it is that's happening in this area. And we're excited about you because we believe that you have much to offer in this season of life for the sake of the kingdom. Another element that I want to talk to you about that's new and developing, there's some things happening to be sure, but there's definitely some new things happening that you need to know about, is in our local outreach. Our local outreach. Many of the things that we're doing, we're going to continue to do. Through our food pantry, we feed 150 to 200 families every week. A lot of what we provide for them comes from our very own garden, because we produce 2,000 pounds of produce every year in our garden that goes to the community around us. We're excited to continue to do that. Did you know at Guilford Elementary, we gave out 1,800 bags of food to families that are involved in Guilford Elementary through our leaders and our volunteers there through personal touch points? Many of our volunteers end up going into homes of Guilford families to care for them, to pray with them, and have spiritual conversations with them. And we're going to continue to do it. We need more people there, by the way. Stand Up Ministries is our ministry to local senior living facilities. When Stand Up Ministries came to Reston Bible Church, we here were in three different facilities. Now through this church, we are in eight different facilities here in our local community. And as we build more and more leaders, we are looking to expand dramatically in 2026 because we believe that those who are on the brink of eternity need to hear about Jesus. And they're excited because people are coming to Jesus. People in their 70s, 80s, and 90s are coming to faith on a regular basis through Stand Up Ministries. I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. There's a phenomena called secondary lucidity, where even people with severe Alzheimer's and dementia, where right before they pass into eternity, they come to a moment, a period of lucidity, where they are as clear as they could possibly be. And there are some who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ in those last moments. And then they go on into eternity. And we get to be a part of that through Stand Up Ministries. We need more people to get excited about ministering in these environments. On July 18th, here in our parking lot from 3 to 7, 3 in the afternoon till 7 in the evening, we are partnering with WGTS. They're going to be broadcasting live from our parking lot, one of their ice cream tour spots coming here. And we are asking you to come with your kids and invite your neighbors and their kids to come be a part of the games, the prizes, and all of that, and be exposed to us, the gospel, and to Christian radio. David is going to be interviewed on the radio that afternoon. I will be in Brazil. And we're encouraged that we get the opportunity to have a presence in the local community in that way. So please put that on your calendar. Dale Tackett, who was the founder of the Engagement Project that we've talked about many times here from the stage, is going to be with us on September 6th and 7th. September 6th, that Saturday, he's going to be teaching a half day from morning till just afternoon, entitled Understanding the Times. Understanding the Times. We want you to come. You know my passion for understanding the context, the culture in which we live, studying the Bible and studying culture. And he's a master at that. And we're going to ask you to come. Understand more and more about the times in which we live. And of course, he's going to be preaching that Sunday, September 7th. On October 24th, Bob Scholl is going to be hosting an evening called Real Life, A Night to Remember. And that evening, we're going to invite you to invite your neighbors to come to a dinner here at the church. And at that dinner, we're going to have someone on stage, and we'll talk more about this in the months to come. And the topic of the evening is going to be forgiveness. The environment, the family context of the person that we're going to interview, well, when you learn more about it, you'll understand why forgiveness is such a foundational element of what's taken place in their family. And then we'll be able to bridge to the gospel. It's going to be a non-threatening opportunity for you to invite people that you care about to come to a safe opportunity here at the church to have a nice dinner, to hear a story about someone's life that was changed because of the Holy Spirit's forgiveness to them and then through them. This coming Tuesday, July 1st, our staff team is going to be taking a field trip to the homeless shelter in Loudoun County over by the Leesburg Airport. We're going to be serving lunch to the homeless residents that are there in residence at the homeless shelter. Many years ago, my wife and our family, we served at that same shelter. And over the course of time, in my previous church assignment, we had 10 groups of people who agreed to serve meals at the homeless shelter. The typical stay at the homeless shelter was 90 days. And what that meant is that if you were homeless and living there at the time, for your full 30 days, you were going to run into, or 90 days, excuse me, you were going to run into someone from our church 30 times. And we had people coming to church. We had people accepting Christ. I remember one night, one morning we had a share time and a woman stood up and she said, "My name is Liz and I live at the homeless shelter and I believe in Jesus today because of the people of this church. And I wanted to say thank you." And as we as a staff team go to the homeless shelter, it's my hope and prayer that that is the kickoff for things that we might do as a church into the future to care about the homeless population here in Loudoun County who desperately need Jesus. It's a fourth element that I want to share with you today, and we'll, with this we'll close. It's called Public School Impact, Shine the Light. Public School Impact, Shine the Light. You know, you have three schooling opportunities, options when raising your children. You can homeschool, you can private school, or you can public school. And from this stage, I have been very supportive of private schooling and homeschooling. And if I'm being honest, I've been rather critical at times of the public school system. I had a young mom who came to me. She said, can I come meet with you? And she said, yes. She said, I've been a teacher in the public school system. And now I am a volunteer in my kids' public school. And I would really want to encourage you to shift your thinking and perhaps your strategy when it comes to the public school system. You've been rather critical. She was very kind, but she said, you've been rather critical. And in truth, there's plenty to be critical about when it comes to the public school system. She said, but how about if we seek to impact the public school system rather than withdrawing from it? I know many of you here today are public school families. You are, you always will be. Private school perhaps isn't an option for you. Perhaps it's out of your price range. Homeschooling may be an option that wouldn't work for your family. And I can tell you, we tried homeschooling. And I would acknowledge to you that at a certain point in time, if we continue to homeschool, I can promise you that somebody was going to probably be harmed in the process. I just know it's not for everybody. And so I want to introduce a relationship that we are building with Staff Fellowship. Staff Fellowship is a local nonprofit, and their entire mission is to develop Bible studies among the teachers in the public school. Today, in Loudoun County, of the 100 schools that we have, there are 34 schools that have Bible studies in them. Only 34. And my call today, if you are a public school family or you are a teacher in the public school, is I want to encourage you to partner with us and with Staff Fellowship to seek to develop a Bible study in your school in an effort to shine the light. In an effort to shine the light. We're going to put a QR code on the screen. And we want you to scan the code, fill out the little form. It's just your name, your information, what school you're connected to, and whether you're a parent or a teacher. And then we want to take that information and work with you to do some research, to find out if there is one. Maybe there is one already. If there isn't one, you're going to help us start one so that we can shine the light in the public school system here in Loudoun County. And I want to say Fairfax too, because Staff Fellowship works with Reston, Herndon, and so forth in the areas where we reach as well from Reston Bible Church. Please help us help you shine the light in your school for the sake of Jesus here in Loudoun County and in Western Fairfax as well. Well, I've thrown a lot at you when it comes to some of the things that we're doing, and it's my heart that you, and my hope that you're excited. That what we've shared today is an impetus to you to go back to what we talked about last week and the beginning of our time together today to say, oh my goodness, I love this church. I love what God is doing here. I want to do better in my own gathering and growing and giving and going. I want to be a part. I want to develop and grow in myself, and then I want to be able to give back to what God is doing here in our community. My wife and I settled in Loudoun County 26 years ago. In 26 years, the population of Loudoun County has gone up 260%. 26 years ago, when we settled here, there were 170,000 people in Loudoun County. Today, there are 440,000 people in our county, many of them who need Jesus Christ. There's an allegory, it goes like this. It says there were four members of a church. Their names were everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And the church had some needs in the kids' ministry, and they reached out to everybody to help. And everybody thought that somebody would help, and somebody thought that anybody could do it, and at the end of the day, nobody stepped up to do it. There was a financial need, and everybody thought that somebody should do it for sure, and again, nobody felt compelled to be an owner. On and on it went. And every time something needed to be done, nobody seemed to be counted on every time. Nobody visited the sick. Nobody gave liberally. Nobody shared his faith with others. And the pastor cried, "Will anybody please help?" Now, can I just say that that allegory is not true of Reston Bible Church? I know that there are many of you who give of your time, your talent, and your treasure on a regular basis, often tirelessly, often thanklessly, often behind the scenes where nobody even knows. And we are grateful for every single person, couple, family that invests here in this place, first in their own growth through community, and then in the giving back, and then going with the message. But I want to call each of us to evaluate what next step am I going to take? What next step are we going to take to gather better, grow better, give back better, and to go better for the glory of God, for the glory of God? The strongest structure in the world is thought to be a Taiwanese building called Taipei 101. Taipei 101, it isn't the tallest building in the world. It's 1,667 feet tall. One World Trade Center is 1,776 feet tall. It opened in 2004, and it was designed to withstand the most difficult of earthquakes and typhoons. It was largely completed in 2002 when a major earthquake hit Taiwan. And upon evaluation, there was no structural damage to Taipei 101. The strongest building in the world. You see, the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when each part does its work in the power of the Holy Spirit, is the strongest structure in the world, ideologically, spiritually, religiously. When each part does its work. And my hope is that we are more and more each day like Taipei 101 rather than a Jenga game with half of its pieces missing. And so I want to encourage each of us as we wrap up today to consider again Ephesians 2:21. The whole structure joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord as each part does its work. Are you a renter? Or are you an owner? Is this your church? Is this your place where God wishes for you to invest all that you have for the sake of the kingdom. And let me say, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, we want you to be a part of the structure. We want you to be a part of this great building, this temple that is Jesus Christ living through us. But we need you to know him first. That's doing business with him is the most important piece for you before you can consider what it means to even be an owner in what's happening here. And to that end, we're going to pray as we close out our time together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we, his body, are being built up, that together we might be the strongest structure in the world for his honor and his glory in which he lives. And Father, if there are any among us who do not know Jesus, Lord, that they would do business with you first, that they would embrace their need of a Savior, that they would recognize their sin, turn from it through repentance, come to embrace Jesus Christ, and then, Lord, become part of the structure that is the church of Jesus for your glory. We love you, Lord. We pray in your great name. Amen.